Good to see you again. It's been a while, been a couple of years, I believe. Glad to be back with you. I'm honored that Brother Todd would ask me. It's a privilege. I thank you. It's good to see you. Thank you for that reading. Thank you for praying for me. I don't take that for granted at all. God forbid that we should grow lukewarm like the church at Laodicea. Oh boy, this wonderful gospel we have, this blessed privilege. Let's look at a story where the people, the two disciples, heard a preacher and their hearts were anything but lukewarm. Their hearts were burning. Luke 24, look at the gospel of Luke chapter 24. This is a familiar passage to nearly everyone in here, I'm sure. I know Brother Todd's preached from it many times, and for me to say the same things is not grievous. If I had a text and a title, it would be found from verse 17 and verse 38. The Lord said to these two disciples, verse 17, "What manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" Why are you sad? And in verse 38, they were troubled, they were terrified, they thought they saw a ghost. And he said, "Why are you troubled and why do thoughts arise in your heart?" What he was saying is, why do you always think the worst? That's what he was saying. Anybody guilty of that? Why do you always imagine the worst when our Lord has only promised his people good things? That all things, no matter what they are, no matter how frightful they may seem, no matter how troubling they may be, no matter how deep the troubles, he's promised us that they work together for our good, didn't it? Why are you sad? And I hope that at the end of this message, they were not sad after he finished preaching, and I hope it will be the case with us. Comfort ye, my people. Two disciples, verse 13, were walking along that same day to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles long. They were walking along, talked together of all the things which had happened, and communing together, it said. These two disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, two believers, were walking along, talking to each other about Christ crucified. And they were communing together. That's a good thing, isn't it? There's nothing better, nothing more profitable than to walk together with a brother, meet together, and talk about these things, commune around these things, around our Lord, the communion of our Lord, of his body and his blood. Vital. It's life. It's our life. And our Lord promised that where two or three are gathered, didn't he promise? Every time, where two or three are gathered in my name, talking of me, communing together of me, thinking about me, he said, I will be there in the midst. And that's exactly what he did. Look at verse 15. As they reasoned together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He was with them. So this is a wonderful thing. It's a good thing we're doing here tonight. Sheep, it's the nature of sheep. The nature of a sheep is gregarious. That's where we get the word congregate. Sheep must flock together. It's the nature of sheep. Goats can be alone. Goats can be out there on their own. Goats can eat anything. Not sheep. They have to have green pasture. Sheep must gather together. You remember the ark, Noah's ark. There were seven clean animals. All of the clean animals were gregarious animals. All of the clean animals flocked together. There were seven of them. Number of perfection. Sheep must flock together. They must. And wherever sheep are, there's a shepherd. The shepherd is always nearby. Always. And if there are just two or three here tonight, not in theory, not in principle, then in actuality, the Lord said, I will be there. Didn't he? Oh my, I hope I'm one of those two or three. Don't you? Well, brethren, let me just say this about it. Can two walk together except they be agreed? These were two believers walking together, talking together. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Light can't have fellowship with darkness. Christ can't have fellowship with Baal. Sheep must coexist with goats. We must have commerce with, business with, do business with, and live in this world, but we're not of this world. And we cannot have fellowship. There is no fellowship with this world. They are of the world, John said, and they speak of the world. And the world is darkness, dimness, and anguish of spirit, and it'll bring you down. Make your companions those that fear the Lord. Walk with those that know the Lord. David said, I am a companion of them that fear thee. That's who he made his intimate companion. Iron sharpeneth iron. So doth hardy counsel of a man's friend with a man's friend. God's people. Make them your... My pastor used to say that. Our pastor used to say that. The two most dangerous things for believers in this world are the things of this world. We're so tempted by them. And the people of this world. Our Lord warned the people, the children of Israel, about the people of the world, that they would steal their hearts away. Make the people of God your companions. I don't know about you, but, well, I do know about you. You enjoy getting together with the brethren, and when you do, you hope that the conversation will at some point turn around to the things of Christ. At three or four couples in our home the other, well, no, we were out to eat. And we were carrying on like we do. And the Lord knows our frame, and we're like that. But I was disappointed that the conversation never turned to the things of our Lord. Felt like a waste of time. Felt like the time wasn't redeemed. These two were walking together, and they were talking of these things. And our Lord himself appeared to them and walked with them and talked with them. How blessed this is. How blessed we are. There's nothing else worth talking about, is there? Nothing else worth talking about. Nothing else that we're really interested in, huh? And after the Lord preached to them, their hearts were burning. And our Lord drew near to them. Verse 16. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. He was with them, but they didn't know it was him. And he began to preach to them. And this is by design. Our Lord hid his identity from them by design. And they thought, even after he preached, that he was just a preacher. Keep that in mind. Because a preacher sent by God is the voice of God himself. If you're going to hear from the Lord, you're going to hear through a preacher. And he's not just a preacher. How many times have you heard the gospel and you thought, the Lord was speaking to me, not that man? That's the way it is. If the Lord blesses that preacher to preach. They didn't know it was the Lord. They just thought it was a preacher. And they didn't want him to leave. And their hearts were burning after that. May our hearts burn after this. Amen. Their eyes were beholding. Turn with me to 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings. You may know this story, but... Elisha had a servant, and he was terrified at the enemy, the Philistines, wasn't it? Syrians that were surrounding them. Do the present events in this world trouble you? Are you troubled by the taunts of that man in North Korea? Anybody? Sure you are. You're lying if you say you don't. Could he send a rocket to this country? Absolutely. Absolutely. Will it be bad for God's people? Absolutely not. No matter what. When the Lord in Luke 21, Matthew 24, and Mark also, when the Lord began to tell his disciples who asked him about the last day and the end time, he didn't say anything good about this earth. There was nothing good. It's all dire warning. It's all bad. He said there'd be wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence and earthquakes and calamities. And he said they'll hate you and they're even going to kill you. Your parents will rise against you. Your brothers and your sisters will rise against you. He said they're going to kill you in the name of God, in the name of religion. He said, Jerusalem, the mighty city, just like New York or Washington, D.C., is going to be leveled. Not one stone left standing on another. There's nothing good about planet Earth. It's all dire. It's all destruction. But he said, when you see all these things coming, lift up your heads. He's talking to his people. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. It's not bad news. It's good news. Your redemption draweth nigh. That's what he said. He kept saying over and over again, fear not, fear not. It's bad for the world, but not for my people. It's all good. It's all good. Well, this young man went outside in verse 15 of 2 Kings 6. Servant of God went outside, get some wood or something, and he saw a host of horses and chariots surrounding them. And he went back in. Alas, my master, what shall I do? What shall we do? What are we going to do? Look at what Elisha said. Same thing our Lord kept saying. Fear not. Fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, opened the eyes of the young man. He saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about. Who? One man, Matthew. One. One man. Who is he that can harm us? David said that. Though a host should encamp against me. Didn't he say that? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my salvation. Can you say that? You need to be able to say that. Well, look at our text. Go back to our text. He said, why are you sad? Why are you troubled? What's the problem? And verse 17, Luke 24. What manner of communication are these that as you walk and are sad? And one of them, named Philopas, answering said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things that you're done in these days? And he said, what thing? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Who's talking like a stranger? They're talking like they never heard a thing the Lord said, aren't they? They talk like strangers to the covenant, strangers to the promises of God, strangers to the truth, weren't they? Christ was so long with them. One time he said to Philip, have I been so long time with you and yet you haven't known me? How long must I suffer with you? How long must I bear with you? How long have some of us been under the gospel? I've been under the gospel a long time. Do I ever have doubts and fears and worries and trouble? Sure I do. Well, what's wrong with me? Oh, ye of little faith. One time he said to his disciple, why don't you have any faith? Didn't he say that? Why is it you have no faith? You act like you don't have any faith. Down there in that verse 38, he said, whatever it is, it is I. Whatever it is, whatever the troubles, whatever the terror, whatever it is I. I, the Lord, do all these things, no matter what they be. It is I. And they were still troubled. They were uncertain of the outcome. We're not uncertain of the outcome, are we? We know the end from the beginning. The Lord, in the defense of these men, they didn't have the understanding that you have, that you and I have. They didn't have the finished book, did they? Though the Lord told them what he was going to do and where he was going to go and he was coming back, but still, the thoughts of him leaving, they didn't even want to hear it. But we have the end, don't we? We see the last chapter. Why are we troubled? You say, but I'm troubled about my children. We should be. We should be. Troubled about their souls. That's the one thing needful. We need to pray for our children because that's the one thing needful. If they don't know the Lord, that if they do, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. When we talk of this world, like these men talk of this world, then put in terms of worry and doubt and fear. We talk like strangers to God's word. We talk like strangers to all the promises that our Lord has made. All the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. And when we get together, we ought to be exhorting one another so much more as we see the day approaching. Talking of an absolute sovereign God reigning and ruling, it does all things no matter what they are, and all work together for our good, and a Christ who came to finish his work of redemption, and he did just that. He's now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, working all things together for us. There's nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. Let not your heart be troubled. I just heard my pastor preach on that, John 14. Meaning, don't give way to all the distress and doubts and fears and worries that this world does. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't give way to these things. Well, our Lord asked them, what thing? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, mighty in word and deed, but the rulers took and delivered him, didn't they? That's what they said. They're talking like Arminians, aren't they? Who delivered up the Lord to be killed? Huh? God delivered him up. He's more than Jesus. He kept telling them that. And yet they talked like they didn't even know him. Well, look at verse 21. We trusted it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. We trusted. You know, they thought like the Jews. They were caught in this same trap. The Jews were looking for Christ to come to set up an earthly kingdom. The Jews wanted the splendor of Solomon and the power of David. The Jews wanted a health and wealth nation with no Roman tyranny. The Jews wanted what so-called Christians want today, don't they? An earthly kingdom where everything's all right. That's what these fellas seem to be wanting. And they lost sight of the fact that our Lord said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, I would fight. Neither is our home here. We trusted it would have been he that redeemed Israel. He did. He did redeem Israel. He came to redeem his people. That's why he came. He didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom, but to establish a heavenly kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, to redeem his people. And he is a Jew which is one inwardly, not outwardly. His true Israel, his true elect, that's why he came. And he did redeem them. On Calvary's tree, he did redeem them. Are they strangers to everything he said? Are you a stranger around here? Anybody talks like that, they're the stranger to the truth, aren't they? Well, and it says, they said certain women came and told us. They went to the sepulcher, and they found that there's no body there. And they came and said that he had arisen. If you despise the messenger, you won't hear the message. Wait. The Lord chose a woman to be the first to go give the news to those disciples. Mary Magdalene. He chose the chief of sinners. And she went running with this news. Glad tidings. He's arisen. But they didn't believe her. I don't think they, until later, they really thought much of Mary Magdalene. What does she know? What can she tell us? Well, that's who the Lord chooses to give this message. Like Manoah's wife. Don't you love that story of Manoah's wife? Samson's mother that told his husband that was full of doubts and fears, if the Lord was going to kill us, would he have told us these things? Would he have accepted this burnt offering? Huh? Would he have showed us these things if he was going to kill us? These women, we went, they didn't believe him. Look at verse 25. Well, our Lord said, oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Oh, fools, that's me. I'm so foolish. I'm so slow of heart to believe, so full of unbelief. Are you? Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Huh? Isn't that why he came to suffer? And you know, he said we would too. Peter wrote a whole book that's full of talk of God's people suffering from the first chapter to the last. First Peter is First Peter. Paul wrote, it's given unto us not only to believe, but to suffer for his name. Now our Lord came to suffer. He came to suffer. He came to live, to establish a righteousness for his people, impute that to him, and he came to suffer. He came to suffer as a sin bearer, as a sin substitute, as a burnt offering, suffer the wrath of God, the judgment of God, endure the justice of God against our sins, be made sin for us on Calvary's tree. That's why he came, and that's what he did. And he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself on Calvary's tree. And he told them that. He kept telling them that. That's why he came. And that's what he was going to do. And 3 days later, he was going to come out of that grave like the high priest of old that came out of the Holy of Holies. Redemption accomplished. The sacrifice accepted. God is well pleased with his sacrifice. He would come out victorious over sin, hell, and death. Rejoice. Ought not Christ to have suffered? And beginning at Moses, look at verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's all the Bible, isn't it? That's Genesis to Malachi. He expounded unto them all the things concerning himself. For they are they which testify of me, Christ said. To him give all the prophets witness. You know these things, don't you? You want to hear it again? Well, their hearts burn when they hurt. How long did he preach? I don't know, but it wasn't long enough. Long time, perhaps. It wasn't long enough. One time Paul preached all night. And the people never grew tired of it. When our Lord began to preach, and no man spake like he did. Oh, what it must have been to hear him preach. The half hadn't been told. We think we've done some preaching. I think the Lord is going to preach throughout eternity. Maybe begin in Genesis 1:1, preach a couple thousand years, and clear this thing up for us. And then go to verse 2. Oh, the half has never been told, but he did. He told the whole, the full counsel, didn't he? He preached himself. He showed himself. He revealed himself. Where did he begin? What did he preach? Well, he had to preach the woman's seed, didn't he? You know he did. That was the first message. He preached that to the first sinners, didn't he? That was him walking in the garden when the voice of the Lord walked in the cool of the day. That was Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God. And he began to preach the woman's seed that was to come. And he preached to these two disciples. Are two persons worth preaching to? He did. One time my dad was going, a fella called him on the phone and from West Virginia and had a little church up in the mountains, and he said, and Dad was on TV at that time and pretty famous, so to speak, and this preacher, some regular Baptist up in the mountains, he said, Brother Mahan, he said, would you come up to preach for us? He said, I know you preach to a lot of people and all that, and he said, but he said, we just got a little group here. He said, how many would it take for you to come to preach to us? And my dad said, two. You to listen and me to preach. Two. The Lord himself, where two men, two disciples, were gathered together in his name with a sincere desire to worship him. Communing together around the Lord Jesus Christ, and him crucified, the Lord himself met with them and preached the word to them. Did he preach the woman's seed? Most certainly. And he preached himself. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, who came, that was the woman's seed of whom the Lord promised. The virgin born. You remember the story? Mary will tell you. He was born of a virgin. Why? Because this holy thing is not of man, it's of God. The Son of God who lived before the world began. The eternal Son of God. God manifest in the flesh. Not with the seed of man, but the seed of God in it. Sinless humanity. God-man come to put away the sins of God's people. Crush the serpent's head. Be made sin himself. You know he preached that, didn't he? What else did he preach? Did he go to Exodus, the Passover lamb? You know he did. You can't preach the gospel without preaching the Passover. When the Lord said, this is it. This is the gospel. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Christ, men, Jesus of Nazareth, who hung on that cross, God come in the flesh. That's the Passover lamb. Do you remember John the Baptist saying, behold the Lamb of God? That's him. The blood on the doorpost and the lintel, that's the Lamb of God. He came to put away his people's sin, and everybody under the blood, and everybody in him, God will pass over in judgment and have mercy and grace and save them and deliver them when the destroyer comes through. You know he preached the Passover lamb. What else? The smitten rock. There's not enough time. The smitten rock. The serpent lifted up on the pole. He said that before, didn't he? In John 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Everyone that looks to Christ and Christ crucified will have eternal life. You know he did that. What else? The kinsman redeemer. Huh? So many things. The shepherd, the Lord, the shepherd. Oh, the bridegroom, Solomon's song. Oh, my. Bringing back the ark, the defender of the law. The great physician and Jeremiah, did he preach from Isaiah 53? You know he did. He did that before. The Lord preached himself. What do we preach? What does your pastor pray? Christ and him crucified. After he prayed, they drew nigh to the village, verse 28. Where do they went? He made as though he would have gone further. You see, they still think it's just the preacher. Do you understand this? That if God gives you a gospel preacher, it's the greatest gift he can give to you on this earth. Our Lord Jesus Christ is seated in the heavens right now. He's unseen. He doesn't speak out loud. He's through speaking out loud. But if he speaks, if he's going to speak to his people, he's going to speak through a preacher. You believe that? That's what our Lord said. He sent out his disciples, those apostles, and 70 others. And he said, if they receive you, they receive me. If they hear from me, they're going to hear through you. If they don't hear you, they won't hear me. That's what he said. And these men received this preacher with such gladness and such joy, and such thanksgiving, and such gratitude, as if it were the Lord himself. And they constrained him, said, don't go, please don't go. I hear you praying for your pastor. Good, good. Pray that the Lord doesn't take him. Pray for your preacher. Pray that the Lord will give him a message for you. Because if you're going to hear from the Lord, you're going to hear it through that preacher. If your children are going to hear from the Lord, they're going to hear it through that preacher. Pray for them. They just thought it was a preacher. But the Lord was speaking. The Lord was speaking. And they constrained him. And he made as if he was going to leave. Oh, my. And they said, abide with us. And it was toward evening. So he did. He went in and tarried with them. And it came to pass, verse 30, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were open and they knew him. And then he vanished out of their sight. How are our eyes open when he breaks this bread of life? Now, we sing that song, one of my favorite songs to begin the worship service. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou hast broke the bread by the Sea of Galilee. If the Lord will break this bread of life, to open the scriptures our understanding, Christ will be revealed to us, and our hearts will burn, and our troubles will lessen. And that's what they said, verse 32. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? Did not our hearts burn? Oh, for this burning, burning heart whenever the gospel's preached. As I said to begin this, and that's providential. You read that. the church at Laodicea grew lukewarm to it. And he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. How dare you grow lukewarm to the story of my son who came down here for such unworthy and wretched creatures as you? You've forgotten that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And you've forgotten what a wonderful, glorious, amazing gift of God's sovereign, electing grace it is for you to have this gospel. Don't grow lukewarm. Don't be like the children of Israel who loathe this light bread. He said, or I'll take it from you. Oh my. Did not our hearts burn within us? And they left. And our Lord appeared to them again. And down in verse, I heard Brother Todd preach from this. Wonderful. He appeared to them. You know, people say Christ can't get in the door unless you open the door. He is the door. But he came in, and verse 38, they were 37, they were terrified and affrighted and supposed they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Why do you always think the worst? Why are you troubled? Why are you so sad? Didn't you hear what I said? And he showed them receipts for their redemption. He showed them the marks of a redemption accomplished, the blood applied, sins gone, his hands, scars, and his feet. Didn't he? Be not faithless, but believe. And I say the same thing to you. Why are you troubled? Why are you sad? Huh? Yeah, bad things are happening. Yeah, troubles come and expect it. Our Lord said, expect it, that when it comes, it won't catch you by surprise. He said, pray always. Watch and pray always that these things don't come on you unawares, so that you may be able to stand before the Lord. Having done all, he said in Ephesians 6, to stand. Yes, watch and pray that these things don't take you unaware, because it's not peace and safety, like the false preachers say. But if you're in Christ, that flood hit Houston, didn't it? We were worried about our brethren, weren't we? No need to worry. They're in the ark. They're in the ark. Hurricane went through Florida, didn't it? We have to worry about them. God sent the hurricane. Nahum 1:2, I think it is, says he hath his way in the whirlwind. He's the one that sent it. God's people safe in the everlasting arms of their Lord and their Savior who sent these things. Judgment to the world, good things for God's people. He's bringing them out. He's calling them out. Be not troubled. Be not sad. Be not afraid. Fear not. It is I, he said. May the Lord bless his word in our hearts. Amen.